Blog Talk Radio.
I want to say good afternoon again, good evening, and it's welcome to another live study of our Friday evening Bible study. And I'm just so thankful to be here, to be alive, to be well, and to be able to speak to you. God is indeed good. And I just want to say, as our theme song already said, don't you let nobody turn you around. No matter what, just keep your foot on the straight and the narrow way. God is good, and He is a loving and wonderful God. And by His grace, we are all here. And the phone lines are lighting up already. So I just want to thank God for all of you who are on time. Those of you here, I see my co-host is there, Sister Jackie Grace. And I just want to say, Jackie, special welcome to you. Sister Francis and everybody else that are there, and I see there Corey. Just want to say welcome to all you guys. God bless you, and let us look at today's topic. Today we have a very interesting topic, and the topic is, where are you? John, where are you? That's the question we're going to ask today, because we're looking at a text in the Bible that I think is very intriguing. As a matter of fact, two texts we're looking at. The first one is 2 Corinthians 5:17, and that says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. So, the question is, where are you? Because if you are in Christ, as the text says, then you're a new person. You're not the same old person that you were. But if you're not in Christ, then what happens? And also, we're going to look at Romans 8 and verse 1. Romans 8 and verse 1 says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So there again, and both of these texts there, both of these verses actually were written by the Apostle Paul. So one is saying that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Then in Romans 8, he's saying that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ, because if you are in Christ, then you're a new creature. You know, Romans 8 is a chapter that talks about, the entire chapter of Romans 8, that somebody said that if there was one book that you would want to have with you and you're stranded on a deserted island, it should be one book from the Bible that you'd want to have. It would be the book of Romans. And then they say, if you're going to choose one chapter, if you had to just choose one chapter from that book that you'd want to have with you, and that would be Romans chapter 8. And it's a terrific chapter because it starts out with saying that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, and which is a backdrop to chapter 7, where Paul was asking the question, you know, who can deliver him from the body of sin and death. And so in chapter 8, he actually answered that question by saying there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And then Romans 8 ends with the thought that nothing can separate us from the love of God. It doesn't matter what we do, no height, nor depths, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power can separate us from the love of God. So if you are in Christ Jesus, then you're in a good place. So Romans 8 is a chapter that talks about victory, but even more than that, it's a chapter that talks about the assurance of salvation for those who are in Christ Jesus. This chapter tells us that there is a new and wonderful life that is opened up to all those who put their faith and trust in Him. Study today will deal with the joy, or we'll try to experience some of the joy that one finds when they are in Christ Jesus. And you would want to hear about this. You would want to know more about this. So I just want to encourage you to stay tuned and don't go away, and you will be blessed. I know my co-host is with me, and I'm going to ask her to come in at this time, Sister Jackie Grace, and to share with us a little thought from 2 Corinthians 5:17, where Paul says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Sister Jackie, how are you?
Good afternoon to each and everybody. Such a good thing we can come together once more. Praise God. I'm doing great and hope each and everyone here on the conference are doing even better than I am.
Well, how is it in the beautiful state of Alabama? I know you're calling all the way from over there.
Yeah, it's a beautiful sunshine day here. It's cool, yet it's beautiful because the Lord created it, and everything was created by God. It's beautiful. So amen. I'm very thankful God allowed me to see another beautiful day. You know, I do not deserve it, but it is by His mercy. So I'm sure you are thankful too, and everyone on this conference, you know, is thankful to be alive, to able to breathe on our own. I don't know how many of you here know it. Donna shared with me that one of our friend that was with us last week, Wendell, he's not with us anymore. He passed, and, you know, it was so good to meet him even in this conference. You know, we prayed for him. And friend, you know something? Sometimes we pray to God for a person for healing, and God can give healing here on earth, and also we can have eternal healing. So he's in a better place, praise God. God gave him that ultimate healing. So wherever or whatever he was going through, it cannot reach him anymore. He's in a better place. So we want to pray today for his family and all the one who had met him in person. You know, may God give them the comfort and that peace that surpasses understanding. And today we have a beautiful topic, you know, from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, and in Romans 8, you know, we become a new creature. And you know, after we do Acts 2:38 that said, repent and be ye baptized for the remission of your sin. That's what we do. In the name of Jesus, we become a new creature, because that old man, we put that old man in the ground, you know, just like when Jesus Christ was buried, crucified, hung, died, and buried, and we raise up with him in that new creation, you know, to have that life eternal. And now, whenever we pass from this life, we think this is life, you know, we're going to have a better life, because we are a new creature by faith. We are a new creature in Christ. And if there is a person who haven't made that change, then something is wrong. So it's very important to search ourselves and see where we are standing.
Yep. Because there's only one place to be. And the best place to be. There's more than one place that we can be, but the best place to be, especially as we live from day to day, is to be in Christ Jesus, to be in His will, to be where he wants us to be. And that is what Paul was talking about. Thank you so much, Jackie, for sharing that with us. And so before we get into the study, I'll be leading out in the study today. Next week, we'll have Pastor Milliken back with us. But for today, I am on in the presenter's seat, and so I'm doing a double duty presenting and hosting. But I just want us to listen to a very special song before we get into our study today. And that song is entitled, You Don't Have to Worry. You Don't Have to Worry. You know, Wendell called in last Friday. He called and I guess he didn't know, and we didn't know, that that would have been his last call to this program. He called in and he was on with us. He shared a thought with us and everything like that. He told us that he was just out of the hospital after spending 3 days in the hospital. They sent him home, and sometime during the day or during the night on Saturday night, he passed away at home. So, you know, it's amazing how fragile life is. But when we are in Jesus, you don't have to worry. And I believe that Wendell was in Jesus because, you know, he shared his thought about what we were talking about with the woman at the well last week. We were talking about her and her looking for, you know, love and looking for comfort in all the wrong places. And Wendell was saying something to the effect that Jesus was sitting right at the well, and she passed him and went dipping water. You know, she didn't even say anything because it wasn't customary for Samaritans to, you know, Samaritans to talk to Jews. And so, but Jesus was the fountain of living water. He was right there, sitting there, and she passed him and she went dipping from Jacob's well, just dipping the ordinary water. And Wendell was just making that fact that, oh, you know, we do that a lot. But we just want to continue to pray for his family, like Jackie said. And before we get into the study of Where Are You, before we do more of that today, I'm going to just play this song. I want us to listen to it, and I hope that it will be a blessing to us. You Don't Have to Worry.
Trouble fade away. Oh,
Amen. And that was the young people from Blue Mountain Academy. Let us just bow our heads for a word of prayer as we get into the study for tonight. Dear Father and our God, we thank you so much just for the privilege to be here and to be able to look at your word in the freedom of our own homes and in the freedom of our own confinements where we live. We are not in any way threatened or in any way, you know, in any way like in an hospital or somewhere because we are sick or anything like that. But each and every one of us, as far as we know, are in the comforts and in the confines of our own home, and we can just share your word at this time together. And so we just pray and ask that you may be with us as we look at this study. Remember your people throughout the world over. Remember those who weren't able to call in tonight. Be with them wherever they are and comfort them and help them by thy grace that your blessings may be upon them too. And whatever we fail of asking at this time, Lord, fail not to grant. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so we're looking at a topic tonight, where are you? And I'm just going to base the study from Romans 8 and verse 1. So if you can turn to that, Romans 8 and verse 1, and also 2 Corinthians 5:17, Romans 8, 1 and 2 Corinthians 5:17. But right now I'm just going to focus on Romans 8 and verse 1. And there in that text, Paul says, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the Spirit. And right there, Paul is saying to us that he's starting out this text saying that there is therefore now no condemnation. And so the question is, why was there condemnation in the first place? Where did that condemnation come from? How did it, you know, reach us down here as human beings from God? How did we become condemned? And the question also is, who are condemned? Are we all condemned? Were we all, you know, under the condemnation? And most importantly is, how can we be free from that condemnation? You know, I just wanted to ask some of you who are listening, if you would just maybe join me. I'm going to do something a little different today. Normally, we would go through the teaching and then we would open the lines at the end so that everyone can come in. But what I'm going to do right now, I'm going to try to open up the line from the beginning here. So at any time, you can come in and you can answer or you can share some of your thoughts. Or if I ask a question and you're so inclined to answer, you can give an answer to that question, okay? So the lines are open, so feel free at any time to interact with me, all right? And to ask the question or answer a question or anything that I'm asking. So I'm going to go back to that. Paul is saying, go back to our study. Paul is saying here, that way we can have a kind of a discussion, kind of a study today. Paul is saying here that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And the first question is where did that condemnation came from in the first place? How is it that we were all under condemnation? And then how did we get to the point where now Paul can say that we are not under condemnation if we are in Christ Jesus? So before I give the answer, I'm just going to open that. I'm just going to throw that question out there and just try to get some interaction on it from you guys as to where did that condemnation come from? How did we all fall under that condemnation, so to speak? And how is it that if we are in Christ, then we can be free from that condemnation? Anyone want to take a shot at that?
Have a question.
Okay, go ahead. And who is this? Just identify yourself so the others can know.
It's It's Angel.
Hi, Angel.
Hi. My question is, what does condemnation mean?
What does condemnation mean? Okay. All right. It's like, let me see if I can put it this way. It's like if you committed a crime, right? Like, say, somebody who would steal something, or if somebody would kill somebody, you know, murder, that's a crime, right? And then if you are found guilty of that crime, then the judge, what we'd call like a sentence, would put a sentence on you, or he could, let me say, condemn you, so to speak, right?
Okay.
Because of what you did. So, does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, good. So, that is how the condemnation come about. So, that is, you know, in essence, what condemnation is, yeah. All right.
Okay.
Anyone else?
Yes. My name is Francis.
Okay,
and,
Francis.
I said there's now no condemnation upon us because we are in Christ Jesus. That means that there's no sin upon us.
Okay.
We are free from sin from what Christ had did for us, but we was condemned back in Adam and Eve. The sins of them, because we are born in sin and wrapped in iniquity. But if we are in Christ Jesus, we are a new creature. And it say, great is he that's in me than he that's in this world. So if we chose Christ to be our Lord and Savior, and we are walking right, we are doing the things that's right, and we are in Christ Jesus, we are now no condemnation against us because the old man of sin has passed away. Jesus has forgiven us. He was the ultimate sacrifice for a new life, a choice of life for us. And that's why I believe in my heart that there's no condemnation upon us, because we don't walk in the flesh, but we are walking in the Spirit of God. Because we can go on to Acts 3:38, as I'm saying, right, or 2:38, Acts 2:38. But anyway, you know, it tells us that, you know, if we are baptized in the name of Jesus, if we are, and I'm paraphrasing it too, we will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And see, that gift that God has given us is that new way, and it is Him Himself of Jesus. And we're filled with the precious Holy Spirit. And we walk by it, and we live by it, and be obedient by it. For the remission of our sins.
See, amen.
A remission of our sins. Praise God.
Yeah. If our sins are taken away, then we are not condemned. But that is very good. Thank you so much, Sister Francis. And thank you very much, Angel, for asking that question also. So let me continue a little bit with the study here. And you are so right in saying what you said, Sister Francis. If you are in Christ Jesus, then you're not under condemnation. So the question is, where did the condemnation came from in the first place? And we all were condemned, so to speak, or we all were found guilty, so to speak, because of the sin of our forefather Adam.
Yeah.
And when Adam sinned, then all of us who were born after Adam, we came into sin ourselves. You know, we were all born in sin, and we were all shaped in iniquity, so to speak. And that is why it is so easy for us to do the things that are wrong more than doing the things that are right, because we have that natural bent towards doing wrong. For example, you don't have to teach a baby how to be bad. Mm-hmm. You don't have to teach a child how to be mean. They know that naturally. They know how to lie. Nobody, your parents don't get up and teach you until, you know, mm-hmm. son or daughter, this is how you lie. You know, we just learn that on our own, you know, especially when you want to, as children, you want to get out of trouble instead of telling the truth, knowing that you did something wrong and that would get you into trouble. You would just tell a lie. And that comes natural mm-hmm. to us because we were born in sin, because our four parents, which is Adam and Eve, because of their sin or their sinning, we who came after them, you know, developed that same tendency towards sin. And because we sin, right, we were condemned. After Adam and Eve sinned, before sin, they were living in the Garden of Eden. But after they were sinned, after they sinned, they were put out of the garden, right? They were put out. God removed them from the garden. That was like their punishment for sinning. They were put out of the garden. And so sin caused a barrier. Before sin, Adam and Eve could have spoken freely with God, and they, you know, would walk in the cool of the evening, and God himself would come down and talk with them. Isn't that something? And they had that face-to-face communion with God himself. But after sin, the Bible said that Adam ran and he went and he hid from God when he heard God coming. And God asked the question, Adam, where are you? It's not that God didn't know where Adam was. God knew exactly where he was hiding, but God wanted Adam to, you know, realize what he has done and, you know, to come to himself about and to come to grips, so to speak, with what he did in disobeying God and eating from the tree that God had told them not to eat from. So God asked Adam that question way back then, where are you? You know, and that is the question that I'm asking each and every one of us today. Where are you today? Because when Adam sinned, he came out or separated himself from God, so to speak. And that is what sin does. Sin separates us from God. And that is why God sent Jesus Christ to die, because there is only one penalty for sin, and that is death. You see, God had told Adam and Eve that if they sin, then they would surely die. But the devil tricked Eve, so to speak, and told Eve that, hey, if you eat from this tree, you will not. He just put in one word there, and that threw Eve right off, you know, her game plan. He just said, you will not surely die. God said, if you eat, you're going to surely die. The devil said, you will not surely die. And so Eve looked at the tree and she reasoned within herself that this tree, you know, there's nothing wrong with it and there's no reason why I can't eat from it. And so she went and she ate from the tree. And she was right in her reasoning, because there was nothing really wrong with it, with the tree itself, because everything that God made was good. There was nothing poisonous or anything like that in the tree. The tree was very good. But what was wrong was that she disobeyed God. And that was where sin. Sin is disobedience. And so God had said, you can eat of all the other trees that are in the garden, but of that particular tree, he said, don't eat it, just that one. And she disobeyed, and then she gave it to Adam, and Adam also ate. And so both disobeyed, and they both fell into sin. And so because of that sin, they came under the condemnation, which is the penalty for sin, or the wages of sin, and which that was death. Because the wages of sin is death. That is what God said. You're going to surely die. And he meant it. And so they fall under the condemnation of death. And guess what? We also, each and every one of us, when we sin, we come under that same condemnation. We are all condemned to die. But God in his love, and that's where the greatest text, probably the greatest text in the Bible come in, which is John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So even though we all were under the condemnation because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, God in his love made a way so that we can escape that sin. And I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful that God did that. Because apart from Jesus Christ coming and paying the penalty for sin, because the wages of sin is death, so somebody had to die for sin. And God in his love decided that he was going to send his only begotten son. Rather than see us all die, he said, I'm going to send Christ. Christ is going to come and he's going to die so that whoever wants to live can live if they would accept his death in their place. And so that is why Paul is saying to us tonight in Romans 8 and verse 1, also in 2 Corinthians 5:17, he is saying that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So it doesn't matter who you are or where you have been or what you have done. If you are in Christ, that is what he's saying, you are a new creature. Everything changed. Your circumstances change. If you are in Christ, it's like being condemned of a crime, you know, being found guilty of a crime, but then getting a pardon because somebody else decided to pay the penalty for that crime. That is what it is like. You know, we committed the crime in sinning. We did the things that are wrong. Jesus Christ never sinned, but because of his love for us, he decided that he was going to pay the penalty for our sin and let us go free. You see? And so if we are in him, if we find ourselves in him, and that is what Paul is saying, then we are free from that condemnation of death, and we have passed, or we would be passed from death unto life. We would be in a new position. Okay? Rather than in the position that we were born in, which is the position of being sin and being under condemnation. Because all of us were born in sin. All of us, you know, are guilty. We were shaped in iniquity. And that is why Romans 8 and verse 1 is such a great verse. It's such a great text in the Bible. Because it reminds us that there is a way of escape. And not only that there is a way of escape, but it also gives us the assurance of salvation. Right? We are all assured that if we are in Christ, which is the right place, then we are going to be saved. That is what Paul is saying here in essence. That's why he said there is no condemnation. It doesn't matter what you did, where you have been. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, because Jesus paid the penalty for sin. So if you accept him and his death, then you don't have to pay the penalty again. All right, the penalty has already been paid. And that is what Paul is saying. That is the assurance that this text brings to each and every one of us. So that is not only good news, but that is great news. Because apart from Christ, or if Christ did not come, then we would have been in big trouble. Because that would mean that we would have had to pay for the penalty of sin ourselves. And we know that since all of us sin, none of us is free from sin. We all made mistakes. We all, you know, told lies. We all cheated. We all did things that were wrong. And since we are all guilty of sin, then it means that all of us would be condemned, or would have been condemned to death. But because of Christ, now there is a way of escape. And that is the joy that this text brings. That is the hope that we have, that now, because of Christ, we can find an escape from sin. And that is why Paul can say that in Christ, and this is what Paul found out, there is no condemnation. All right? There is no condemnation. Now the question becomes then, how do we get to that place where we are in Christ? You know, before sin, Adam and Eve, they were in that relationship with God. Everything was going good and they were well and all was fine. But after they sinned, they found themselves separated to the point where God, and to show how God was serious about, you know, doing what is wrong, he didn't say, okay, you know what, I'm going to forgive you and you guys could stay here. No, but he put them out of the garden after they sinned. He put them out. And there was a reason for that also, so that they could not, you know, be there and continue to live in sin, and also so that they can realize what was it that they did and to see that there is a penalty for sin and a price that has to be paid for sin. So they learned that, and they learned it the hard way. And many a times, you know, we don't realize that. Sometimes we think that we can sin with impunity. That means we can sin without any kind of a penalty or punishment to pay for it. But that's not true. Even if we are saved, you know, and we escape the debt, it's only because somebody else already paid that price. And we know what it was like for Christ to pay the price for us. It wasn't easy. You know, the agony and the distress and all the things that he went through, the suffering. He didn't only die, but he suffered and then died. Could you imagine being beaten and then forced to carry the cross and then being nailed to the cross and all of that? He suffered and then died because he was paying the penalty for sin, and he was paying for each and every one of us. And so the question is, how do we get to the point where we are no longer in sin, but where we are in Christ Jesus? How do we get to that point? Anyone want to give that one a see if you can answer that. What are your thoughts on that? How can we get to that place? Because Paul is saying that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But how do we get to the point where we move from being in sin to being in Christ Jesus? Anyone wants to answer that? And then I'll wrap up on that point. The lines are open, so anybody can give it a shot.
Well, if no one is saying anything, my name is Francis, and I'll speak again, praise God.
Okay, go right ahead. Go right ahead.
For forgiveness. We ask God for forgiveness of our sins, and we receive God as our Lord and Savior. We have to be forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. That is what I'm going to say, that how we have to get to Christ. Forgiveness for the remission of our sins. It would always come back to Acts 2:38 for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it is... you know, we still have to be obedient and receive what God has done for us, and accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Right.
Yes, okay. Praise the Lord. Thank you for that. Anyone else?
Donald, sometimes we hear some people said, all you got to do is believe, you know, but what can we believe or how can we believe if it's not preached to us, or if it's not, the word of God is not preached, you know, and how can we hear if this word of God and this man of God is not sent from God, you know, and after hearing the word of God and we preached, you know, just like in the day of Pentecost, go back to Acts 2:38. And also if we look at Second Chronicles 7:14, it said, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, you know, and pray, turn away from their wickedness,
yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, then I will heal and heal their land, you know, Acts 2:38, you know, what can we do, man of God, what can we do, you know, and he said, you know, repent and be ye baptized for the in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sin. You know, then you shall receive the power of the Holy Spirit, and that power is that transforming power, you know, that bring back us in relationship with the Lord, because as you said at the beginning, we all come short of the glory of God. That relationship was broken. So Christ died to restore us back to the Father, you know, and not only we here, but all mankind. So, you know, you have that free will, that free choice, you know, because God did not make robots, you know. It's a free will thing, you know, to accept the Lord as personal Savior and turn away from that wicked way. But what a beautiful opportunity we have in Jesus Christ. Yet we were sin. He still have mercy upon us, you know, became sin, not a sinner, but sin for us, you know. He was tempted at all point, you know, to show us that we can overcome, you know, and transform, be transformed, change that old life, you know. So, you know, we live by faith, and without faith it's impossible to please God, and we know that disobedience also brings consequences, you know. And we cannot do this alone, you know. We need that Holy Spirit power to guide us to all truth.
And that is so true. That is so true. Well, I am totally agree with what was said there. And if there is no more comments or no more question, I'm just going to continue our study and just try to wrap this up here. And you are so right, Sister Francis and Jackie. We need to repent and to come back to Christ, because He can forgive us. But He's not going to forgive us if we are not willing to turn away from our sins and come to Him. All right? So we have to be willing to do that. Christ came so that He can reconcile our relationship. And that's another word. We talk about condemnation, which is mean being guilty of doing something wrong, and then you're condemned. You know, it's like the sentence that was passed because of what you did, and that's when you condemn. And then there's another word that is called reconciliation. Mm-hmm. All right? Sin broke the relationship with God. Adam and Eve became separated after they sinned. And because we are their children, we were born from them, we also inherited, right, that sinful nature. We also sin, and that's why we do what is wrong. So Jesus Christ came, and what He did in dying upon the cross was to make it possible for a sinful man to be reconciled back to God. Or in other words, to come back into a right relationship with God. Amen. That's right. And we can say praise God for that. Because before sin, remember, like I said before, Adam and Eve, they had face-to-face communion with God. Isn't that something? You can walk with God and talk with God. The Bible said that Genesis said God used to come down in the cool of the day, and He would talk to them. And they were not afraid. And they were able to stand up there, and they were able to talk with Him and to share with Him. And, you know, God can talk to them about the birds and the bees. As a matter of fact, God had told Adam to name the animals, and Adam gave them name. And I could imagine that God come down, you know, after He came down and talked to Adam, after Adam, you know, named the animals, and He named the bees and the insects and all these different things. And God might have asked Adam, why did you name, you know, the lion? How did you come up with that name, you know? And the tiger and the giraffe and all these other things, and, you know, and I can imagine they would discuss so many things. And then Adam was probably asking God about, you know, how He created the heavens and the earth. Why are there so many billions and billions of stars up there? And I could imagine God talking to him about that. And they having that communion and that discussion. But after sin, that was broken. It says when God came down to talk to them, Adam and Eve hid themselves.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible said they ran and hide. You know, So God called out to him, and God said, Adam, why are you hiding? Why, you know, I'm just paraphrasing it. Why are you not coming and you know, hanging with me a little? And Adam said, I'm hiding because I'm naked. You know, and God said, Adam, you know, we were talking before. You didn't realize that you were naked. How come you're naked all of a sudden? You know, did you do what I told you not to do? And so the old relationship was broken right there. Mm-hmm. And then Adam began to blame Eve. He says, no, well, you know, it's the woman that you give me. In other words, he was blaming God because he said, God, it's the woman that you give me. Yeah. She gave me to eat, and I did eat. And so, you know, and then Eve blamed the serpent, and the blame game started, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But, Maya? But the relationship was broken, yeah.
Elder Retamaya?
Yes,
I
ma'am.
I have a question. When Paul says there is no more condemnation to those who are in Christ, does that mean that okay, we are in Christ, so no more sinning, no more lying, no more telling, stealing, no more, nothing, no sinning that would condemn us?
Well, that's a good question, you know, and I'm glad you raised that too, because that was where we were trying to get to. And you just push me there, because that's where 2 Corinthians 5:17 comes in, where it says, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. Now, some time ago, we studied also John chapter 3, where Nicodemus had a discussion with Jesus Christ himself while he was on earth. About that in John chapter 3. But the question that you're asking, it says that if you are in Christ, if you are this new creature, right? Because it says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. It says all things are passed away, and it says behold, all things become new. And the question is, do you stop sinning? I think that's what you're asking. Am I right? And that was Anne who was on the phone there.
Yes,
are you
that's
saying that
right.
If
does
you,
that mean that I wouldn't lie anymore? All of a sudden I stopped lying. All of a sudden I stopped stealing. All of a sudden I stopped doing wrong things. Would that be my faith? Would that be my, what would happen?
Well, the answer to that, and I'm just going to give a short answer, and maybe that's something that we can study more next week also, but the short answer there is no. It doesn't mean that you're going to stop lying or stop cheating or anything like that. All right? But what it does mean, that the affinity to do these things naturally without any kind of a remorse, so to speak, would not be there. All right? And then it's a growing process. It's a growing process. It's not that you accept Christ today, and so because you accept Christ, you stop sinning right away. Because if that was the case, then a lot of us would have been in trouble. And that is why salvation is by grace. But what we start doing, we start to grow. When we first come to Christ and we first accept Christ, in the book of John chapter 3, and God talking to Nicodemus about this, he told Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. So it's a new birth experience, right? When we're born from our natural birth, you know, when we came out of our mother's womb, so to speak, we were born in sin and shame and iniquity. So when we accept Christ now, you know, we ask him for forgiveness, and he forgive us and he cleanses us. Then we are a new person, because now we are in Christ. But then we are still a child, because we are like a newborn babe. And a babe don't start running from the time they are born, you know. They don't start speaking from the time they grow day by day. And so it is with us. When we get to become like a Christian instead of growing apart from Christ. From day by day, we grow closer and closer to Christ, and we become more and more like Him. Now, I'm going to use myself as an example. I became a Christian like 30 years ago, a long time, right? But when I became a Christian then, when I first became a Christian, I didn't know the things that I know today. I couldn't do what I'm doing now back then. You see, I grew over the years that I was in Christ. And that is why I am where I am today. It didn't just happen overnight. It took a little while. You get what I'm saying? And so it is, and that's why Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again, and you must be born of water and the Spirit, which means you must be baptized, which is an outward symbol of you changing from, you know, your old life to your new life. And then he says you must be born of the Spirit, which means that the Holy Spirit now would come inside of you, and that would help you to become more and more like Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to use one more example. I'm going to use the example of the disciples. Now, when they came to Christ, when Christ brought them, Christ called them, so to speak, he called them, and they left their whole lives. You know, Peter left his fishing and all the rest of it, and Jesus said, you're not going to catch fish anymore. I'm going to make you a fisher of men. You're going to start catching men from now on. And, you know, Matthew was a tax collector. He left his tax collecting, and he started to, you know, walk after Christ and do the things what Christ did. And for 3.5 years, these men lived with Christ. They walked with Christ. They talked with Christ. They saw him do miracles. And then they learned how to do some of these miracles themselves. And some of them they were challenged with because they couldn't do all of them. But they did some. But they still weren't fully, you know, converted, so to speak, even after being with Christ for 3.5 years. And how we know that they weren't fully converted, because when Christ was eventually captured by the Romans and he was, you know, taken from the Garden of Gethsemane and he went to the judgment hall with Pilate and all the rest of it, these men, they all fled because they were afraid. Not only did they all flee, you know, the judgment hall and all the rest of it, but when Peter followed, but he followed from a distance. And when somebody identified him as being a disciple of Christ, Peter began to doubt. And then when somebody asked him again the second time, he began to doubt even stronger. And then the third time, he began to curse and to swear that he don't know Christ and he never knew Christ and all the rest of it. Now, this is the same Peter that later on, that we were talking about in the book of Acts, when he get up and preach, you know, people were asking Peter, well, men and brethren, what should we do? Right? And then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized. But what I'm saying here is that Peter had to grow in Christ. Peter did not become who he was overnight. So even though he was walking with Christ, these men ate with Christ, they slept with Christ and all the rest of it, the transformation, it took a while before Peter became the giant that he became in Christ Jesus. You know? And so as we grow in Christ, in the beginning, we would still make mistakes. But when we make mistakes, the way how, if you are outside of Christ, you would sin and then you wouldn't think twice about it. Anybody that is in Christ and you get the Holy Spirit living within you, if you sin, right away you feel the conviction. And then you want to pray and ask God to forgive you. And you want to also not sin so easily. Okay? So if you are in Christ Jesus, sinning would be something that you would not enjoy doing. And that's one way to know. It's not saying that you would not sin, but you would have no pleasure in sin. All right? So if you do something that's wrong, you would want to get out of it as early as possible, as quickly as possible. And you would want to make things right. Okay? So that's why Paul says it's a new life. That's why if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That's why Matthew was a tax collector before, and he used to, you know, tax collectors, they would rob people and all the rest of it. But once he became a Christian, once he became a follower of Christ, his life was changed.
Mm-hmm.
He might not have stopped sinning right away, but the things that he used to do in robbing people, you know, and didn't thinking about it and all the rest of it, he stopped doing that. And so that's the transformation. And then daily we grow in Christ, and daily we become more and more like him as we learn to trust him and to live for him. All right? So, Anne, I hope that answered your question in a nutshell there. But what I will do is continue this next week. So you want to be here with us next week, because I'm seeing that we are almost out of time here. And the time run go by so fast when you're having fun, right? But the thing that we understand is that the broken, or what I want us to understand and to leave here with today, is that the broken relationship that sin caused is now being repaired, so to speak, because Christ came and he died. He died, so if we accept his death, then we would have the life that he should have had. In other words, the price that he paid for sin would cover our sins. And then we wouldn't have to pay it also. All right? Because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So if we accept him, then we are saying, Christ, your death cover my sin, and then I won't have to pay for my sin. But if we don't accept Christ, what we're saying is that, Lord, I'm going to pay for myself. And that's why Paul says there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But if you are not in Christ Jesus, then guess what? If you are not in him, what happens? Anybody? What happens if you're not in Christ Jesus?
You pay for your own sins.
That's right. You're going to pay for our own sins, or we are condemned already because we were born in sin. Okay? So that's a wrap. It's 7 o'clock and we are all out of time. It's almost 7. I can't believe it already. It seems as though we were now getting started. But we want to thank God for his goodness. Thank him for his mercy and thank him for his grace. And I thank God for so many of you being online with us today. I just want to praise God for each and every one of you. And I pray that his blessings may be with you as you go into the weekend. Have a wonderful weekend. Have a blessed weekend. And then next week we'll be back. And I'll Pastor Milliken is supposed to be with us. But I'll ask him if he can continue along this same line, where we can expand a little bit more on what it means to be in Christ Jesus and what happens as we are in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So God bless you, my friends. I thank you so much for listening. Again, it's always a pleasure to have you here. And I just want to encourage you to invite a friend next week and to be here at the same time. That is at 6 o'clock. We go from 6 to 7, so be here and bring a friend with you, and so that they too can hear these wonderful words of life and be blessed with us. Have a great weekend. Jackie, could you do our closing prayer for us, please?
Almighty, precious Heavenly Father, this evening we come before you once more. We want to thank you. What an awesome opportunity where we can hear your word, where we can live your word, where we can apply it to our lives, Lord, and share it with someone else, Lord, to bring them to know you, to have that life, to have that transforming power in their life, to live a better life, Lord. And help us, Lord, as we grow in the Spirit, to remember to daily, Lord, so we can walk and have a closer relationship with you, Lord. Lord, we pray for each and every person here. We ask you to bless us as we go from this place, but not from your presence, Lord. Be with us throughout the rest of our weekend, Lord. And we ask blessing special way upon Donald and his family, Lord, and also each and every family represented here, Lord. Be with us guide us through the rest of this day. In Jesus' precious name, we ask these things. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a blessed weekend. Remember, God loves you all, and so do I. See you next week.
Thank you for allowing me to see myself the way you see me. Thank you.